Welcome to a new week and episode 405 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. The LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New. Each day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, I try to average about 10 minutes per show. Today we begin the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, and we'll read chapters 1 and 2 from the Contemporary English Version. The rest of the week we'll read from the English Standard Version, but when I was recording last week, I inadvertently did today's reading as well. So we get the Contemporary English Bible once more. 2 Kings begins where 1 Kings left off. Let's begin. 2 Kings chapter 1. After Ahab died, Moab rebelled against Israel. Ahaziah fell out the window of his second-story room in Samaria and was hurt. He sent messengers telling them, "Go to Ekron's god Baal-zebub and ask if I will recover from this injury." But the Lord's messenger said to Elijah from Tishbe, "Go, intercept the messengers of Samaria's king and ask them, 'Is it because there's no god in Israel that you're going to question Ekron's god Baal-zebub?' This is what the Lord says, 'You will never get out of the bed you're lying in. You will die for sure.'" So Elijah set off. The messengers returned to Ahaziah. He said to them, "Why have you come back?" They said to him, "A man met us and said, 'Go back to the king who sent you. Say to him, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you've come to question Ekron's god Baal-zebub? Because of this, you will never get out of the bed you're lying in. You will die for sure.'" Ahaziah said to them, "Describe the man who met you and said these things." They said to him, "He wore clothes made of hair with a leather belt around his waist." Ahaziah said, "That was Elijah from Tishbe." So Ahaziah sent out a commander with 50 soldiers. The commander met up with Elijah while he was sitting on a hilltop. The commander said, "Man of God, the king says, come down." Elijah replied to the commander of the 50 soldiers, "If I really am a man of God, may fire come down from the sky and burn up you and your 50 soldiers." Then fire came down from the sky and burned up the commander and his 50 soldiers. Ahaziah then sent another commander with 50 soldiers. The commander said to Elijah, "Man of God, this is what the king says. Hurry and come down." Elijah said to them, "If I really am a man of God, may fire come down from the sky and burn up you and your 50 soldiers." Then God's fire came down from the sky and burned up the commander and his 50 soldiers. For a third time, Ahaziah sent a commander with 50 soldiers. So the third commander arrived. He kneeled before Elijah and begged him, "Man of God, please have some regard for my life and the lives of these 50 soldiers who are your servants. Look, fire came down from the sky and burned up the two earlier commanders and their troops of 50 soldiers. Please have regard for my life." Then the Lord's messenger said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Don't be afraid of him." So Elijah set out to go with him to the king. Elijah said to the king, "This is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to question Ekron's god Baal-zebub? Is there no god in Israel whose word you could seek? Because of this, you won't ever get out of the bed you're lying in. You'll die for sure." So Ahaziah died in agreement with the Lord's word that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Joram became king after him in the second year of Judah's king Jehoram, who was Jehoshaphat's son. The rest of Ahaziah's deeds, aren't they written in the official records of Israel's kings? 2 Kings chapter 2. Now the Lord was going to take Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, and Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and you live, I won't leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came out to Elisha. These prophets said to Elisha, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Don't talk about it." Elijah said, "Elisha, stay here, because the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha said, As the Lord lives, and as you live, I won't leave you. So they went to Jericho. The group of prophets from Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today? He said, Yes, I know. Don't talk about it. Elijah said to Elisha, Stay here, because the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But Elisha said, As the Lord lives, and as you live, I won't leave you. So both of them went on together. 50 members from the group of prophets also went along, but they stood at a distance. Both Elijah and Elisha stood beside the Jordan River. Elijah then took off his coat, rolled it up, and hit the water. Then the water was divided in two. Both of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, What do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elisha said, Let me have twice your spirit. Elijah said, You've made a difficult request. If you can see me when I'm taken from you, then it will be yours. If you don't see me, it won't happen. They were walking along, talking, when suddenly a fiery chariot and fiery horses appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went to heaven in a windstorm. Elisha was watching, and he cried out, Oh, my father, Israel's chariots and its riders! When he could no longer see him, Elisha took hold of his clothes and ripped them in two. Then Elisha picked up the coat that had fallen from Elijah. He went back and stood beside the banks of the Jordan River. He took the coat that had fallen from Elijah and hit the water. He said, Where is the Lord, Elijah's God? And when he hit the water, it divided in two. Then Elisha crossed over. The group of prophets from Jericho saw him from a distance. They said, Elijah's spirit is settled on Elisha. So they came out to meet him, bowing down before him. Look, they told him, there are 50 strong men among us, your servants. Please let them go and search for your master. Perhaps the Lord's spirit has picked him up and put him down on some mountain or in some valley. Elisha said, Don't send them. They insisted until he became embarrassed and said, Okay, send them. So they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days, but they couldn't find Elijah. When these men returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, Didn't I tell you not to go? The citizens said to Elisha, As you can see, sir, this city is in a good location, but the water is bad, and the land causes miscarriages. He said, Bring me a new bowl and put some salt in it. They did so. Elisha then went out and threw salt into the spring. He said, This is what the Lord has said. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death and miscarriage. The water has stayed pure right up to this very day, in agreement with the word that Elisha spoke. Elisha went up from there to Bethel. As he was going up the road, some young people came out of the city. They mocked him. Get going, Baldy! Get going, Baldy! Turning around, Elisha looked at them and cursed them in the Lord's name. Then 2 bears came out of the woods and mangled 42 of the youths. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and then back to Samaria. May God bless the reading of His Word. In chapter 1, Ahaziah, who was the son of the evil king Ahab, and who was himself evil, fell through some sort of lattice work and was injured. We know that Ahaziah was evil because we're told as much at the end of 1 Kings, and the fact is reinforced here in chapter 1 when he commits the heinous sin of sending messages to Ekron's god Baal-zebub to ask if he would recover. This is huge. And God sent Elijah to intercept the messengers to tell them that because Ahaziah insulted God, intending to ask Baal-zebub, Ahaziah would die from his injuries. When Ahaziah found out from the messengers who it was that delivered the Lord's message to them, he ordered one of his captains and 50 men to go and get Elijah. And here it's important to note the manner in which the captain approached Elijah. He said, Man of God, the king says, come down. Well, first, if this captain really believed that Elijah was a man of God, he would not have barked orders like this. A man of God answers to a higher authority, so the fact that the king is speaking would not carry a lot of weight with him. Also, a man of God does not take orders from anyone other than God, even a king. In essence, this captain was being impudent and disrespectful to God's prophet. Amazing how quickly we humans forget, isn't it? How could Elijah's earlier experience with false prophets and God raining down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice not cause these men to approach Elijah with respect? But they showed no respect, and God's fire again came from the sky, and this time the captain and his 50 soldiers were consumed, not just a sacrifice. And this whole thing was repeated a second time with a second captain and another group of 50 soldiers. But the third time that Ahaziah sends a captain and 50 men, the captain came and kneeled at Elijah's feet and begged him to consider his life and the life of his men. And since he showed respect, the angel of the Lord told Elijah to go with them to Ahaziah. When Elijah was before the king, he told him that since he had ignored God and went to Ekron's God, he would surely die of his injuries. And that is exactly what happened. In chapter 2, we see Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Listen to what Matthew Henry had to say about this. He wrote, "God had determined to take him up into heaven by a whirlwind. It is not for us to say why God would put such a peculiar honor upon Elijah above any of the other prophets. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. He knew sin, and yet never tasted death. We may suppose that herein, 1. God looked back upon his past services, which were eminent and extraordinary, and intended a recompense for those, and then an encouragement to the sons of the prophets to tread in the steps of his zeal and faithfulness, and to witness against the corruption of the age they lived in. And 2. He looked down upon the present dark and degenerate state of the church and would thus give a very sensible proof of another life after this, and draw the hearts of the faithful few upward towards himself and that other life. And 3. He looked forward to the evangelical dispensation and, in the translation of Elijah, gave a type and figure of the ascension of Christ and the opening of the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Elijah had, by faith and prayer, conversed much with heaven, and now he is taken thither, or there, to assure us that if we have our conversation in heaven while we are here on earth, we shall be there shortly. The soul shall, and this is the man, be happy there forever." And besides this that Matthew Henry just said, some believe that since Elijah has not yet tasted death, he is one of the two prophets that will come to earth during the tribulation, just before Christ returns. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 405.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at @SteveWebb_. And I'd like to remind you that the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible and LifeSpring Media is supported by people like you. I've set up a page over at support.lifespringmedia.com that I'd like to invite you to go take a look at. There you can make a one-time gift or set up a monthly giving plan. I'm far from being rich financially, and in order to keep doing what I'm doing here, I need your support. So please, prayerfully consider it, go to support.lifespringmedia.com and take a look. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.